The only thing that occasionally relieved this feeling of aimlessness was intense involvement in a particular case. During the course of our treatment, Tom had to defend a mobster on a murder charge. For the duration of that trial, he was totally absorbed in devising a strategy for winning the case, and there were many occasions on which he stayed up all night to immerse himself in something that actually excited him. It was like being in combat, he said. He felt fully alive, and nothing else mattered. The moment Tom won that case, however, he lost his energy and sense of purpose. The nightmares returned, as did his rage attacks, so intensely that he had to move into a motel to ensure that he would not harm his wife or children. But being alone, too, was terrifying, because the demons of the war returned in full force. Tom tried to stay busy, working, drinking, and drugging, doing anything to avoid confronting his demons. He kept thumbing through Soldier of Fortune magazine, fantasizing about enlisting as a mercenary in one of the many regional wars then raging in Africa. That spring he took out his Harley and roared up the Kankamagus Highway in New Hampshire. The vibrations, speed, and danger of that ride helped him pull himself back together to the point that he was able to leave his motel room and return to his family. The reorganization of perception. Another study I conducted at the VA started out as research about nightmares, but ended up exploring how trauma changes people's perceptions and imagination. Bill, a former medic who had seen heavy action in Vietnam a decade earlier, was the first person enrolled in my nightmare study. After his discharge, he had enrolled in a theological seminary and had been assigned to his first parish in a congregational church in a Boston suburb. He was doing fine until he and his wife had their first child. Soon after the baby's birth, his wife, a nurse, had gone back to work while he remained at home, working on his weekly sermon and other parish duties and taking care of their newborn. On the very first day he was left alone with the baby, it began to cry, and he found himself suddenly flooded with unbearable images of dying children in Vietnam. Bill had to call his wife to take over childcare and came to the VA in a panic. He described how he kept hearing the sounds of babies crying and seeing images of burned and bloody children's faces. My medical colleagues thought that he must surely be psychotic because the textbooks of the time said that auditory and visual hallucinations were symptoms of paranoid schizophrenia. The same texts that provided this diagnosis also supplied a cause. Bill's psychosis was probably triggered by his feeling displaced in his wife's affections by their new baby.